May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1036. 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies? But in the Lamb, for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. Hymn 1036.
Let us read together from the Word of God, the Gospel according to Luke, reading from chapter 9, and we will read the first 27 verses. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, Shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the 3rd day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us. Help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, who art our God, our Saviour, and the friend of sinners, once more we would seek to draw near to thee, calling upon thy great and thy holy name. And Lord, also that we're conscious of thy holiness, thy majesty and thy glory. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt properly prepare each of our souls to come before thee, Lord. Grant unto us that true worship in spirit and in truth. And be pleased, Lord, to grant thy humbling grace upon us, that we might be found before thy feet as those, Lord, looking up to thee, dependent upon thee, and also waiting upon thee at this time, Lord. We have come, Lord, into the means of grace. We have come, Lord, upon thy day, the day that thou hast set apart, where thou wilt be worshipped. And Lord, it is a time and a season where we would remember thy resurrection from the dead on the third day. And Lord, as this day so typifies thy resurrection from the dead, oh, may we also be able to remember our own resurrection from the dead, from sin, from death, and from ourselves, from the world. And Lord, be pleased to draw each of our hearts to thee. For, O Lord, thy resurrection from the dead is the most glorious truth of the gospel. Because I live, ye shall live also. And, O Lord, as we come to gather together in thy name, do be pleased, Lord, to impart to us the precious truths of thy gracious gospel, that our souls might live and have life and have it more abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. May this time and season gathered together be a good time, but Lord, an especial time, Lord, where thou wilt be pleased to visit each soul. And Lord, in thy salvation, perhaps, Lord, with a word in season, perhaps, Lord, that thou wilt come at this time and awaken some poor sinner, dead in trespasses and in sins, that thou wilt enshine into them by the gospel and show to them their need as sinners, we pray thee. And perhaps, Lord, there are those before us, Lord, unconcerned, Lord, indifferent in respect of their worship and their attendance upon thy house here, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to show to each one of us that great need of thee, Lord, of a Saviour and of a Redeemer, to save us from our sins, Lord. Oh, that we shall not be left, Lord, unconcerned and unmoved in respect of our never-dying immortal souls. Those souls, Lord, indeed, that are needful of salvation and redemption through thy blood, forgiveness of sins. O Lord, we do pray that we may be brought to see again and again, Lord, that the great and important truth that thou wilt be pleased to show to us, our great need of a Saviour. Oh, that, Lord, to be left, Lord, to ourselves and to be left to our own course and to go forth, Lord, in this wilderness here below and with all the world and Satan in our hearts, Lord, and careless, Lord, and indifferent in respect of our great need of a Saviour. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to appear. Oh, that it may be that time, Lord, where thou wilt begin to change us and to show to us our great need as sinners, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, be pleased to enlighten each soul, Lord, as to their need of a Saviour. And be pleased, Lord, that thou wilt draw us then, Lord, by thy Spirit and power on this occasion, Lord. O Lord, we do pray that this indeed may be the day that the Lord hath made, the day when thou wilt be pleased to visit us, Lord, in thy salvation, where thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come and to change us and to renew us by thy grace. Bring us, Lord, to see, Lord, the solemn truth of that wilderness within us, and be pleased to deliver and save through thy grace, we pray thee. And may it be a day, Lord, a set time to favour Zion, we pray thee. So be pleased to come to each one of us, we pray thee. And we pray, Lord, that then through thy presence and the outpouring of thy Spirit upon us, that our time spent together may be a good time and a profitable time under thy gospel grace, and may precious Christ be revealed to us, that one thing needful to our souls. O Lord, may we be those, Lord, come looking up to thee and waiting upon thee, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and do something for each one of us, to meet our case and our need. And thou knowest each one of us, Lord, and thou hast heard the prayers and the petitions, Lord, that have been offered up to thee in this thy house. Oh, be pleased, Lord, to be prayer hearing and prayer answering, we pray thee. Oh, may it be, Lord, that thou wilt come to each poor, needy soul, we pray thee. And we pray, Lord, to be poor, Lord. We pray to know that humble and that contrite spirit, Lord, that, Lord, that thou hast given, Lord, to the poor and the needy of thy people, that the spirit that thou wilt be pleased to look down upon, even unto this man will I look, to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Oh, it is all of grace, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that then that thou wilt appear and answer each prayer and each petition, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that if any have not offered up a prayer, Lord, by the time, Lord, that this service closes, there will be a prayer offered up, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do pray, come and enter into our heart. Oh, that thou wouldest, Lord, be pleased, Lord, to impart faith, Lord. Faith, Lord, in a precious Christ, and faith in him that is able to save, and able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, that, Lord, nothing too hard for thee, Lord. We have read, Lord, of the wondrous truth of feeding the 5,000, five loaves and two fishes, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for thy word. And we thank thee, Lord, as we come with our great needs before thee at this time, that there is nothing too hard for thee, Lord. Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And, O Lord, then we do pray, hear us in our prayers and our petitions, we pray thee. and be pleased to be mindful of us. We thank thee, Lord, for this day then, and may we be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and be pleased, Lord, to come to each one of us in thy rich mercy, Lord, and lift us up above ourselves, Lord. Remove us from all the hindrances and the cares and the concerns that we have here below, Lord, at this time. And pray, Lord, that we may be drawn to thee effectually and purposely by and through thy grace to partake of thee, Lord, in the gospel. And, Lord, be pleased to visit each soul in thy salvation. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing us through another week. We do believe we have known and understood thy care towards us in providence, supplying all our needs, Lord. Thou hast been pleased to keep us and to protect us, Lord, against all enemies and all dangers, both seen and unseen, and brought us, Lord, to this moment of time, Lord. And we do thank thee, Lord, that we are in thy hands and under thy gracious care, and Lord, under thy sovereign power, Lord, able to keep us and able to preserve us, Lord. There is nothing in ourselves, Lord, to be able to do anything ourselves, Lord. We understand, Lord, the truth of thy word to thy disciples and also to thy church today, that without me ye can do nothing and we cannot do nothing, Lord. But, oh, we do pray that we may always feel a need of thee, Lord, then that we shall be able to do all things through Christ that strengthen us. Oh, we do pray then, Lord, come to us each, Lord, and may we be found before thee with true, thankful and sincere hearts, Lord, for all thy dealings with us, Lord, the dealings of love and mercy, Lord. Oh, we do pray and thank thee, Lord, for the great blessing of thy doctrinal truths in our hearts, Lord, thine everlasting love to sinners, Lord, and also, Lord, thy gracious choice of them in election, Lord. Oh, we come before thee, Lord, and thank thee for the mercy that we found, Lord, never feeling, Lord, that we deserved anything, Lord, never sought thee, Lord, never desired thee, Lord, never would we have this man to reign over us, Lord. Oh, but grace came. Oh, that grace that overcame all sin, that grace that showed to us, Lord, the solemn truth of our sin and the awfulness of our lives. But we do pray and thank thee, Lord, that that grace hath abounded, Lord, and we have beheld it, Lord, each day in our hearts and lives. Oh, Lord, that grace of thy love, the grace of thy care, the grace and the blessing of thy word and thy truth and thy promises, Lord, all laid out for poor needy sinners, that they might wait upon thee, Lord, in all their concerns and needs here below. So we thank thee, Lord, for thy people, Lord, are truly rich beyond all thought, Lord, rich indeed, rich in Christ and rich in the gospel and rich in that we have a kingdom and a rich, Lord, an inheritance to come to. O Lord, fix our hearts and minds upon the blessings, Lord. Bring us to them, Lord. We cannot bring ourselves to them, Lord, thou knowest. But, O Lord, we do pray that there may be a hope and an expectation in our poor hearts, that at the last we shall obtain the victory through Christ that loved us. And so, Lord, be with us in our homes, be with us in our families, our children, children's children. Lord, we do pray that we may know humble godliness in our hearts and in our lives, living day by day upon thee, Lord, and living at the throne of grace, Lord, calling upon thy great and holy name, dependent and trusting in and upon thee for all our concerns, Lord, all our domestic things here below, Lord. Everything, Lord, committed into thy hands, Lord. Leave nothing to ourselves, Lord. We pray thee, but only to look to thee. And we pray, Lord, then, that there may be, Lord, in this vicinity, in this district, the hearts of others turned, Lord, to feel their need of a Saviour, drawn into this thy house of prayer, and that there may be those, Lord, whom thou wilt graciously add to them. We pray thee, and we pray for this, Lord, as the gospel is proclaimed this day, Lord, help each of thy sent servants, Lord, to stand forth upon the walls of Zion to proclaim, Lord, thine unsearchable riches, and, Lord, through the Spirit, Lord, oh, may those riches reach forth into the souls of thy people, Lord, show to them that their treasure is in heaven, Lord, and there is none to be compared to thee or likened unto thee, Lord, the altogether lovely one. My beloved is mine and I am his, Lord. Oh, we do pray for these supports and strengths to our souls. We do pray that we may know and realize again those eternal bonds, Lord, that have sealed us into the beloved. And pray, Lord, this time that there may be those, Lord, as the gospel is proclaimed, brought to feel their need of thee. Oh, there is a gathering in, Lord, yet today. And we do pray, Lord, that thy grace may so enshine into the darkened mind of sinners, Lord, and enlighten them, Lord, and show them, Lord, their great need as sinners, we pray thee. So, Lord, we ask these mercies. Be pleased, Lord, and then to be with all of thy sent servants. Be mouth match and wisdom for them, and give them journeying mercies, Lord, many travelling many miles this day, Lord. But, Lord, uphold them and keep them, Lord, and be pleased, Lord, to be mouth match and wisdom for them, we pray thee, and be with thy servant, Lord, at home that is preaching in the gospel at Arkle Street, we pray thee, Lord. Give him utterance, Lord, and may the word be made precious to the souls of thy people, that their souls may be enlarged upon a precious Christ, and that they might again have a further token, Lord, of thy love and grace and mercy to them. Be pleased to be with the deacons of this thy house and each member, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to gather in amongst them. We pray thee, Lord, as we prayerfully commit these things into thine ever merciful hands, that we're not merely, Lord, come day by day and Lord's day by Lord's day, in and out of the doors, Lord, without, Lord, some gracious effect upon the soul, we pray thee, Lord. And so be pleased, Lord, to begin that good work of grace, we pray thee. And that, Lord, thy name shall be glorified in the midst, we pray. Be pleased to help thy servant to speak before thy people here. And we do pray, Lord, that the word may be seasonable, Lord, but put it, we pray thee, into his earthen vessel, Lord, that the excellency and the power may be of God, not of man, Lord. Oh, let thy servant, Lord, be nothing, and let Christ be everything in the pulpit, Lord, and everything to thy people here, Lord, both spiritually and in word and in truth and gospel. We pray thee, do unto us the good that thou seest each of us to stand in need of, and may thy name have all the glory and the praise, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
in 335. For angry bosom hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. In 335.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, and by way of a text reading from verse 11. Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, and we will read from verse 11. and the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. It is a wonderful mercy sometimes to be able to trace out the path that the Lord Jesus walked out here below. He suffered much at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees, those who scorned him and mocked him, turned their back upon him, despised him, rejected him. But what a mercy it is. Some came running to him. Some followed him. There was another desire. There was another principle in their hearts. And we do pray that these people, of which each of the evangelists speak of this event prior to the Lord feeding the 5,000, and they each speak of this particular time and season here in a different way, recorded it in a different way. Recorded in Matthew, it seems to, the application there seems to be that he healed them and showed miracles. Here we have the Lord teaching them and healing. But in respect of this people, the Lord had privately turned aside with his disciples. And it is a good thing, dear friends, to turn aside from time to time and to be able to contemplate our mercies, our blessings, be thankful, to find a little union and fellowship with the Lord, communion with him, to turn aside. And it does show that we do need those times and seasons of a little leisure, as the Lord Jesus here. And he went with his disciples aside privately to speak to them, to be in conversation with them. He was always teaching, never spoke an idle word, always teaching. But what a mercy it is to have a teachable spirit and to be found at the feet of Jesus and to learn from him. And these people seem to come and interrupt that time and season. But when the Lord saw them and beheld them, I read of how that the other evangelist spoke of this matter, and I just noticed what Mark had to say in respect of this people, and the people's, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately, that is the Lord and his disciples, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him from all cities and round about the countryside. Dear friends, they learned of it, and they knew of it, and they went out after the Lord Jesus. It will be a great mercy if their intent and purpose was to come and sit at his feet and hear his word, that they had a hungering and a thirsting for his righteousness, and the Lord has promised that he will fill them. But here he also records in Mark how that the Lord, when he saw them, the much people, he was moved with compassion. Dear friends, what a mercy that is. He was moved with compassion. He had great thought and respect of them, but it tells us why. And it was this truth, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. A sheep not having a shepherd, dear friends. It's awful, isn't it? Sheep not having a shepherd. See how it appears that this people had been left and neglected. Probably so much of the self-righteous Pharisees and all their error in teaching, and yes, all their ungodliness. And he saw that they were sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is showing himself here to be the shepherd then, in front of this great company. Dear friends, are we sheep without a shepherd? What an awful place it is to be in. Think of it. To be without this shepherd, Jesus. Really and truly, I cannot think of anything more solemn than to be without this good shepherd. And so I thought of this in respect of the words here. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. They were without a shepherd, dear friends. No one to truly lead them, and no one to guide them into all truth and doctrine and salvation. They were, as it were, scattered about, without a shepherd. Now there's a great change here. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. We've been speaking just recently about a shepherd and his sheep. And it just seemed to be a little of a confirmation in respect of our text this morning, because it was in my thoughts yesterday. It said, and they followed him. And I thought of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in John chapter 10. And amongst this great company here and the people, yes, there was upwards to 5,000. But this wondrous truth, I know my sheep. He says, I know my sheep. It is a great mercy that out of this multitude here, this great number of people, that Jesus, he knows his sheep. Here truly is the Good Shepherd. Here is that one in the midst of them. And that one indeed only, that is able to do anything for them, and in particular their never dying immortal souls, which is the most important part of us, dear friends, the most important part. Oh, what if we should gain the whole world and lose our own souls, is the solemn truth. Jesus spake, we read it together, for what is man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Here is the great mercy. When they knew it, followed him. What a mercy it is, dear friends, to have a desire. A desire for his house of prayer, a desire to sit to his at his feet and desire to be taught by him. And then to come, dear friends, with our great need, our never-dying immortal souls, they followed him. We do not know, dear friends, the case and the needs of all this people, but, dear friends, let us see here for ourselves. Are we following Jesus? Is that the desire? Is that why we've come into the Lord's house this morning? Is it because we're following him? What is the need? What is the concern? Is it just habitual? Is it because it's just the Lord's day and it's proper that we should be here? Or is it because of our great need? And our need is great, isn't it? Great need of Jesus. They followed him. What a mercy to have this hungering and thirsting for Jesus, for his word, for doctrine, for truth, for his gospel. Jesus alone hath the words of eternal life, as Peter exclaimed. There was no one else for Peter. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And when we think of our never-dying immortal souls, think of this most solemn truth that is before us each. Eternity, eternity is before us. How shall we spend eternity? We will each come there, dear friends. There's no mistake about it. That day will come. The consummation of all things. We shall all stand before the judge of all the earth, give an account of all our deeds, whether they be good or evil. What a mercy it is to be one of these sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And when they knew it, followed him. Well, we may have some thought here then of that reason that they followed him. There was no teacher, no prophet like the Lord Jesus. None like him, dear friends. And he said unto them, he received them, and he received them. This is another wonderful truth of the gospel, isn't it? Something else that the scribes and the Pharisees could not understand, could not comprehend at all, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Is the wonderful truth. And then Matthew says it in this way, if I can just find it, that he is the friend of sinners. And the Son of Man came eating, drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Dear friends, this is the wonderful truth here, isn't it? He drew near to sinners. He received them. Yes, although they had sort of interrupted the peace and the quiet. And yet, see how Jesus, fulfilling the will of his heavenly Father, the work that his heavenly Father sent him to do, and the great need of salvation through Jesus. It is a great need. And Jesus, speaking the gospel, preaching the gospel. And he is truly that one that, if I can just find it, but he is truly that one that in the preaching of the gospel fulfilled the word in Isaiah, a wonderful word. And it belongs to all the sent servants of the Lord. but in particular to Jesus. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, publisheth peace and bringeth good tidings of good, publisheth salvation, saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Jesus here fulfilling his heavenly Father's will and also fulfilling prophecy of all that was spoken of him. He spake every word that his heavenly Father gave him to speak. And how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. It's the message that they bear, dear friends. Nothing to do with the feet, as it were, but it's the message that they bear. The goings forth, the watchmen that have been sent forth, placed upon the walls of Zion, and that they should not hold their peace day nor night. It's the gospel that is preached and proclaimed. And Jesus here, ready, in seeing this great company, to preach to them the kingdom of God. There was another word which I believe was fulfilled. It just comes to my mind, and it's in Psalm 40, and where Jesus, yes, came to do the will of his heavenly Father, Jesus speaking through the Spirit. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Fulfilled his heavenly Father's will perfectly. But he says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Yes, he went into the temple and the synagogues and the congregations of the people. But this is a great congregation here, dear friends. And so is this, all to be found at the feet of Jesus. This is the mercy, isn't it? Is there such value upon these occasions? Are they times and seasons, dear friends, that is precious to our souls, drawing near to Jesus, this one that showed mercy to sinners, this one who receiveth sinners and eateth with them? Isn't this the wonderful truth? Well, he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. He spoke unto them all truth and doctrine. And yes, he never refrained, dear friends, from speaking the truth and the gospel. And I do believe that there will be a truth in this, the doctrines that he would open up. You know, dear friends, we must stand whole and complete in a righteousness not our own, not the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. No. And Jesus spake, and he spake of the doctrine of sin. Let us make no mistake about that. He says, unless ye likewise repent, ye shall perish. Die in your sins, unless ye likewise repent. And sin, dear friends, isn't that the most awful state and condition that we're in by nature as we're born into this world? Sinners. Now, poor hearts are filled with sin, all the evil of it. And it reveals and manifests itself in so many parts about us. Thoughts, imaginations, deeds, dear friends. The vanity of our lives. The fulfilling of the lusts of the flesh, the desires, the worldliness, the carnality. And as Paul made mention, all those things that were found in him, no good thing, he said. And that is what it is by nature, no good thing. Nothing that God can look upon. And we have nothing, dear friends, to approve ourselves of his favour. Nothing. The kingdom of God, the meaning of the word is the gospel. That is the kingdom of God spoken of here, the gospel. And if the Lord will be pleased through his Spirit to show to us all the awfulness of our sin within, in sin did my mother conceive me, did David said, and that is with us, the Adam nature, the sin which leaves us unto death. The wages of sin is death, spiritual and eternal death. But the kingdom of God also is a glorious truth, dear friends. Jesus also preached salvation. And we've spoken of the Good Shepherd. And this Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. What a mercy it is, dear friends, that there is one that came. One sent of God, dear friends, in our nature, except sin. Because sin had to be dealt with by one in our very nature, body and soul together. Divinity couldn't deal with sin, dear friends. In his divine nature, he had to come in our nature. So that he could become our sin bearer and bear away the sins of his church and people through sufferings and death at Calvary. And he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This real man, dear friends, in the nature of the brethren, this real man. And here is the mercy to preach salvation. And he preaches salvation today. He preached salvation to Zacchaeus, didn't he? He went forth. Zacchaeus was one of the sheep. And he knew him. He knew where he was. But Zacchaeus was going to see the most wondrous and glorious truth, that though he sought him not and yet found of him. And Jesus, in a particular mission, sought him out. And he went to the house of Zacchaeus. And it is another truth where Jesus, again scorned by the scribes and the Pharisees. Just to open up this truth of this word here, they followed him and he received them. Yes, he received them. See, glorious truth of the gospel. And when Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus, there were those that murmured, complained. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. There is nothing more blessed than this word, dear friends. That is what Jesus came to do. Came to seek out and to find lost sinners. Came to show his grace and mercy to them. and Zacchaeus. Let us consider, he went into Zacchaeus' house and he preached to him. He preached as he preached here. He preached salvation into his soul. And Zacchaeus would know and experience the humbling grace of the Spirit upon him. His spirit would be made willing in the day of his power. He would know what it is to be brought to see and to feel his sins and iniquities. And in this time spent here, he was one who was brought to know the blessing of repentance. It is declared to us. Zacchaeus was changed, divinely wrought within. Jesus spake with power into his poor soul, showed to him his great need as a sinner. And it's one of the most sublime truths of the gospel, isn't it, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. There isn't a more glorious truth than this. When brought to feel our need of him, to see our lost and ruined state by nature, and see how he was changed. He was a rich man, dear friends, had need of nothing really, lived to himself. He was in need of nothing, outwardly speaking, and now he is ready to give up all and to follow Jesus. Hear the profession of his faith, dear friends. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The poor man, he was become poor now, poor and needy. He was one melted under the love of Christ to his soul. He was one who looked upon his Christ as his Redeemer. That one who loved him and would give his life for him. He's ready now. In submission to him. And do not believe that his riches accounted anything else to him anymore. But he was rich in his soul, dear friends. Rich in his soul. His soul was going out after Christ. Christ was his one treasure in heaven. And he loved him. And Jesus gave testimony of the power of his word in his soul. How it changed him and renewed him by his grace. Brought him to him. This day, Jesus says, is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus fulfilling that gracious word that was given to Abraham many, many years and generations before, that in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Zacchaeus was one of them. What about you, dear friends? What about I? And then Jesus goes on to say that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. What a mercy to have a gracious knowledge of it. Where we stand through an awful fallen carnal nature, lost. And so this wonderful truth that we have before us, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. The doctrines of God's eternal and everlasting love to the souls of sinners. That he loved some from lost mankind. Is the wonderful truth, isn't it? And in that love, divine choice and election, as it was with Zacchaeus, Jesus will not pass by any, dear friends, whom his heavenly Father gave to him before time began. He will go out and he will find them. He will gather them. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And it will be so to the end of time. But is there something here, dear friends, for our poor souls? He receiveth sinners. And dear friends, if we come with nothing in our hands, but if we come, dear friends, with all our sins raging within us, all the evil and the wicked of our hearts, and confess them and repent of them before Jesus, this man receiveth sinners. He will never turn away, dear friends, from a poor coming sinner. Spake unto them of the kingdom of God, electing love and mercy to become one of his peculiar choice ones, elect vessels of mercy, and to be gathered through Jesus and his gospel. Oh, what a mercy, as Jesus would preach, hear the kingdom of God. Can we just see those attentive ears? Can we see that longing, hungering, thirsting? Is it the need of our never-dying immortal souls? In verse 27, it may not be connected with much of this company, but some may be here. It seems to be another time and season when the Lord had fed the 5,000. They then took shipping. But I just take this word to apply it, because it is a word, dear friends, which will come to pass in every generation of time, in verse 27. Where we closed our reading. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Oh, there's some hope here, dear friends. What about these that are here standing, this great company? Oh, but what about here, dear friends? You see, Jesus knows everyone. I tell you of a truth, he says, I know. There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God, the glorious truths of the gospel be revealed and made known to them. They shall not taste of death till these blessed and glorious truths are applied to them, blessed to them, and they become saved through the precious blood of Jesus. And then Zacchaeus, in this salvation that came to his house. Oh, dear friends, the doctrine of election and then the doctrine of pardon and forgiveness for sin. Oh, isn't that one of the most glorious truths? Let us just read it. And healed them that had need of healing. Oh, there's some, yes, sicknesses and diseases. Think of a word that you know, I just thought of a word, and it's such so applicable to this truth here. It's in Psalm 103. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Have we ever come into sickness and disease in our bodies, dear friends? Bodily afflictions? I know I have, dear friends. One or two of those sicknesses have changed me completely. But has he healed us? Have we committed our cause into his hand? I know it has been with myself. Has it been with you? You see, sickness and disease and bodily afflictions, the very root of that is sin. It's part of the sinful nature that we have. But Jesus can overrule in it. Have we seen his mercy, dear friends? Has he come to us? Has he heard our prayers in respect of our bodily afflictions? He is able to heal, dear friends, body and soul together. And he does. And we will see his power in that he is able to. Jesus came and healed many. But then also this truth. There's another great healing, isn't there? A great healing that is so needful. I always think of this healing. Think of that man that came to the Lord, a leper. And the word says that he was full of leprosy. And he came to the Lord. If thou wilt, thou canst heal me. He had faith. Faith to know that Jesus can heal. What a mercy to have that faith, dear friend. It's the gift of God. Zacchaeus was given that faith to behold Jesus, to be his only Saviour. What a mercy it is to have this faith in Jesus, able to heal. And he was full of leprosy. I will, said Jesus. And he touched him, and he became whole. Well, he was full of leprosy. And as leprosy, dear friends, is a type, well, it's shown clearly that it is the corrupting of the flesh, isn't it? But it is a type of sin, corrupting to the soul. And dear friends, if the Spirit of the Lord will teach us, it will be our greatest trouble. But the Lord is able to heal. And heal them that had need of healing. Well, dear friends, how is it with your case, your need, your concerns? It is true here that Jesus is able to heal. What a mercy it is to be drawn to him by a living faith, to plead for mercy. The publican found that mercy. He was healed. He found his salvation. And he was justified. He was made whole and complete through Jesus. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. A need of healing. The gospel is preached and proclaimed. Dear friends, here is the only hope of a poor, needy sinner. And this healing, it is also typical of this wondrous truth. When we know and feel, dear friends, that healing balm of Christ's precious blood, its cleansing, healing, virtue and power, it will, dear friends, it will be that glorious truth that all our sins will go away from us. Our consciences will be cleared completely of any guilt, because Jesus has imputed all our sin and all our guilt, all our defilement upon himself, taken all our sins upon himself, and to such an extent that I will remember their sins and iniquities no more, blotted out forever. And that is the peace and pardon, dear friends, that will come into the soul of a poor coming sinner, is the great mercy. And it is that mercy to be sought for. Urge and press thy case upon the Lord. What a mercy it is. There is one here that receiveth sinners. All this glorious truth here was everything that was so precious to my soul when the Lord met with me. And healed them that had need of healing. And it is a mercy to feel this great need of healing. It's Christ's reconciling work unto God the Father. And in that last day, he's going to deliver the church up to his heavenly Father. And this is the blessing of this work of grace in the soul, this salvation and pardon, forgiveness of all sin, to reconcile the sinner again unto God the Father. What a mercy it is then to be found one of that number. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. Just think of the good shepherd here. He does, dear friends, know his sheep, and they follow him. And he gives unto them eternal life. And it means this, that they should forever be with him. That is what it means, eternal life. These sheep can never be lost or never perish. And just quote a word and then we will close. But it is a precious word. I may have quoted it to you before. John 6:39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And dear friends, if the Lord will draw thee to his cross, because that is where he will draw thee, it is there that the word is spoken of. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. Being drawn there, dear friends, you will lose nothing. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord just bless these few remarks. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for church members next Friday evening, and Mr. John Hart, God willing, will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 893. If guilt pursue thee with its cry, and would to prison hail, to Jesus Christ the surety fly, and he will give in bail. Hymn 893.
Grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.